You know, it's pretty bad when I'm laughing at my own jokes. I'm over here in this studio, and I'm laughing at my own jokes. That's terrible. Oh, I guess you gotta have fun. Oh, okay. Anyway, oh, that's funny. Okay, well, I had a busy day yesterday. I'll tell you, I preached for a long time yesterday. I preached for an hour, and it's like an hour and 20 minutes. That sermon will be online. We get it messed up a little bit. Technical difficulties. No, Luke did not fall asleep. He was listening to the sermon, and he didn't realize the volume or something was messed up. I haven't figured out what happened there, but anyway, it was something like that. So we'll get the entire sermon. It will be in audio format, and it will be on YouTube and sermon audio. Okay, we'll get that. We'll get that one put up there. I want you to hear that. I think it'll help you. I really was fired up yesterday morning, and the whole day really. But yesterday afternoon, I preached a different message just for OPBC, just for the church itself, and all that good stuff. But anyway, so had a good day and in the Lord, and a very busy day. And now, you know, just kind of yep, part of the sanctification series that will actually, it's part of the Will of God series. It's like a sub-series of sanctification, right, of the will of God, and then we'll get back to the will of God. I know, isn't that something, how that's worked? I'm not done either with that separation. Next week, we're going to talk about doctrinal separation and a few of those other things. So I got some time. It's going to be, we got some time to go. Then we'll get back into, after sanctification, which is the will of God for the children of God, then we'll actually get back into the will of God and continue on with that and explain that. Boy, I don't know how that happened, but it just kind of went like this. Hey, dig a little deeper, dig a little deeper, dig a little deeper, dig a little deeper, and then I'll make my way back up and get the other part of the vine, going the other way. But anyway, we'll get it. Amen. It's good stuff, though. I hope it's helping some people. Good practical things to help you live a Christian life that God wants you to live, that God expects you to live, by the way. And you listen to those, and they'll help you. And they'll help you to grow in the Lord. I hope you had a good weekend. We had a good time out. Well, you know, maybe I'll bring you some of that on Wednesday. I'll talk to Brother Andrew. Maybe I'll bring you some video. You guys like the street preaching videos, right? When we talk about those, break those down, and I show you what people are like out there. So I started doing something new, and I'll show you that on Wednesday, possibly. I'll see if Andrew can get me a bunch of that video from Wednesday, Saturday, and we'll get some of that, and we'll talk about that. That'll be good. We'll get into some of those things and all that good stuff. State Fair coming up, and lots of busy times coming up. But anyway, you know, had some good conversations out there with some folks, and we'll cover some of that street preaching. And I'm going to be doing some new things at street preaching. I'll have. Anyway, you'll find out. I'll save it for Wednesday, so then I don't distract myself from what I'm talking about, and I can actually kind of present that to you. I want to show you some things that I'm going to be doing with street preaching and other things to add to our street preaching arsenal as we're out there. But boy, oh boy, I'll make one comment. Man, were the lesbians mad. The whole concert was full of lesbians. Angry, mad, old, nasty women. Imagine an entire concert full of old, nasty, nasty Hillary Clintons. Pretty much what it was. And boy, were they mad. They got upset. But there was one good thing about being there at that concert, besides preaching the gospel and trying to give them tracts and all that good stuff. There was one good thing about it. They all had clothes on. That was a good thing. Because at the other country concert we went to, they were all naked. Well, not biblically naked. Right? So they were all naked people at that concert. These women, I guess they pretty much knew nobody wanted to see what they had anyway, which is a good thing. But they had clothes on, which I was thankful for. Very. But boy, were they mad. I just can't imagine why women would ever be mad at me. I mean, let alone lesbian women. But they were. Not just me, though. They were mad at Joshua. They were mad at Jacob, the sons of thunder. They were mad at the sons of Andrew. The Andrew Kims. Very tall Andrew Kims. They were mad at them, too. So, but Andrew, he kind of slips out as, like, photographer dude, and nobody gets mad at him. He kind of just sits over there behind his camera, and he's like photographer dude. And everybody's like, oh, he must be with the press. We'll just leave him alone. So he just sits over there in the corner with it, and nobody's ever mad at Andrew. He just sits over there and just... And, of course, Grandpa Cooley, he made them all mad. He got up there and just started yelling at him. Like Grandpa does, like an old man yelling at you. Where you just kind of sit there and you're like looking at him like, uh-oh, this guy's mad. He wasn't really mad, but he was preaching. But you know how people think that somebody's mad. So anyway, that's what happened. But we'll get into specifics maybe on Wednesday. Maybe we'll talk about that. That'll be fun. Maybe we'll talk about that. And see where that goes, right? But anyway, we'll see how that works. Well, we are, let's see. We're on YouTube. Making friends and influencing people on YouTube. Let's see. There's nobody on Rumble yet. There's one person on Rumble, it looks like. Sermon audio, probably a few on there. Yep, five people there on sermon audio. So we're all over every platform. So anyway, we'll talk about those fun things. Anyway. I hope you had a good weekend, though. I trust that you did. I hope that you were walking in the fear of the Lord, and I pray that be the case. Lots of weird things going on in our world today, which we will not talk about any of them for the most part today. We're going to do a Bible study today. We haven't done one in a while, and some of my devotions in Ephesians, and it's kind of not on Ephesians, so it's not going to interrupt my preaching through Ephesians, which you'll forget about anyway by the time I get to it. That's how our brains work. But Ephesians chapter 3, that is. We got a ways to go. Because we're going to be on the will of God for a while. And after that, then we'll get into the actual book of Ephesians, which will be fun, which will probably take a few months to get there. So we'll see. Anyway, and don't forget, Wednesday will be in the book of Acts on Wednesday night. Okay. Joshua says something about 4 years. Yeah. I don't know what that means. Okay. I fixed my MZ connection. Stream goes great on SA fast connection. And then Cooley's preaching, but no sound. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, I'll take 4 years to get to Ephesians 3. Well, let's hope not. I don't have that many years on this earth to be trying to get through a book of the Bible, right? I got to speed it up a little bit. But anyway, all right. Well, we are going to study some things from the Word of God today. And I hope that they'll be an encouragement to you. Ooh, I made it cold in here. Man, it's kind of chilly in here. But I hope that they will be an encouragement to you and help you along the way in your walk with God. Now there are three or four people. Who is Porky Wheel? That's what I want to know. There's somebody named Porky Wheel on Rumble. I know who Joe Mac 77 is, Joe McDonald on the farm, but who is Porky Wheel? Someone must tell me the identity of Porky Wheel. Right? Who in the world is Porky Wheel? Porky Pig's brother. All right. Well, we definitely don't want to take that long, do we? Hopefully not. Lord willing, we won't take that long to get through there, but... Porky Wheel. Oh, it's Brian from Northern Ireland. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out who Brian from Northern Ireland is. Why can't I remember you? What's wrong with my old brains? Why can't I remember you? Brian from Northern Ireland. Why can't I remember? Why can't I place Brian from Northern Ireland? Why can't I do that? So what's going on with that? Brian from Northern Ireland. Why can't I remember who that is? Maybe he'll tell me in a second. But we are going to get started with our Bible study. I don't know how long it's going to last, so I better get moving. For sure. Right? Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to look at this verse. Actually, we're going to look at these verses here. 13 through 16, really. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might. So the Lord wants, God knows, by the way, that his people have need of being strengthened. That there are times that his people are faint. Now, God's desire is that you and I are not faint. But sometimes as Christians, we get weak. Spiritually, our mental faculties, our physical faculties sometimes even wear us down, where spiritually we become faint. Sometimes we get weak as Christians. Sometimes we get to a place to where we're very feeble. And God has remedies for that feebleness. And he teaches us things that we need to learn and know. And that's what I want to really focus on today, is to help you as a Christian to be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. But we first have to look at the fact that the reality is that we get weak. Christians are not always strong. The mighty are not always strong. Even God's chosen generals and soldiers and his army, his pastors and his people, they get weak. They can get beat down. And I want to show you what the Bible says about that to encourage your heart. So you can be encouraged. And that means given courage, or courage breathed into you, strength given to you in your time of need. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not. There are many causes for Christians to faint in the way that they go. Fainting saints are more common than you might think. We as Christians are prone to fainting on our way home to heaven. Right here, the Apostle Paul shares his desire that his trials did not make others faint. He is concerned that the heavy afflictions that he is going through, the fact that he is writing from prison, might cause the saints at Ephesus to be weary in well-doing. It might cause them to be faint, to be tired, to become weak and feeble. He's very concerned for that. Second Corinthians 4:1, if you'd go there, please, in your Bibles. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You and I, if we are held up, we are held up by mercy. Verse number 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God strengthens the heart of his saints. He strengthens the heart of his people. But the outward man, you and I, our flesh, can be broken down. But the inner man, the inward man, is to be renewed day by day. You and I, it doesn't matter if our body falls apart around us. Spiritually speaking, our hearts can be like Caleb and be encouraged in the Lord like David. And though our body perishes, our outward man perisheth, this flesh is dying. But the spirit, the new man in Christ Jesus, the inner man, is renewed day by day. So Paul says that there is a way that though our outward man is perishing and everything around us is falling apart, there is a way that you and I can be strengthened spiritually. That's what God wants for us. Paul is giving us instructions of how not to faint in the way. He says the outward man, yep, he's perishing. But the inward man is renewed their strength day by day. They shall mount up as eagles. And we're going to talk about that verse. And fly. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We must wait and not faint. If I had to give you a number one, listen to me and listen to me closely. In whatever severe trials you are going through right now, there is one principle. Number one, you must wait and not faint. You must wait. And I'm going to tell you what that is. But you must wait upon the Lord. Wait. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. You're to wait, not faint. Psalm 27. Let's turn there. I hope you're looking in your Bibles. Hope you're reading. Look at this, verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. There you go. Wait, don't faint. Number two, be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Unless I had believed. So I am to wait. Waiting. Shows the exercise of faith. You're taking notes, write it down. Waiting shows the exercise of faith. It shows that we are exercising faith in God when we wait on the Lord. We are exercising faith. It's what God expects us to do. To wait, not to faint. He, look what he said. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He gives a warning twice. Says you got to wait on the Lord. You don't want to faint in the way. Better wait on God. So waiting keeps us from fainting. God gives us that waiting grace, that goodness of God, the psalmist talks about. Wait and be of good courage. It's the same idea that we find in Galatians 6:9. Let's turn there. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Look at that. That's the promise of God. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap. Let's stop and look at some examples of this. Thought process here. Raising my children. Man, sometimes it might seem like in your heart, oh no, you know, it doesn't seem like it's working. Let us not be weary in well-doing. If there was a number three to that, you know, wait, don't faint, right? You believe the Lord. But what does it say here? Let us not be weary in well-doing. you would not faint, if you would have remedies for being faintful, then you wait on the Lord. Let us not be weary. You do not, don't get weary in well-doing. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. If we do not give up, right? If we do not give up, if we do not walk away, if we do not give up on our well-doing, the well-doing that God has called us to as children of God. You're waiting a lot. Children are precious trees that are planted. Right? We plant those trees in hope. We water them, we fertilize them, we raise them. With great care, we raise them. And we wait to see them come in full bloom, like a plant or like a flower. We wait to see that the full bloom come. We wait to see them grow into what God wants them to be. But work has to go into them. If you just let them be planted in the garden, if you grow a garden and you don't ever weed the garden, you don't ever tend the garden, you don't ever weed out the weeds that are choking out the plants, then you won't reap. Then he explains to you how you wait on the Lord. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Waiting involves service. Let me tell you something very clearly. And you listen up and you listen good to this, because it'll help you. It's helped me. I know it'll help you. Whatever afflictions you are going through, whatever persecutions you may be going through, whatever tiredness and fatigue and health concerns and everything else that you're going through, don't you stop serving the Lord. Don't you stop loving others. Don't use those things as an excuse not to serve God, because you're actually going to tear yourself down. You are going to faint. And you're not going to reap. That's what's going to happen. Waiting involves serving. You're a waiter. That's what a waiter does. A waiter serves, right? When you go to a restaurant and you have a waiter or a waitress, they are serving you. They are waiting upon you. That's what it means to wait upon God. That's exactly the understanding of that. One way to overcome fainting is to continue sowing. That sounds odd when you are weakened and weary in the battle, but you must keep sowing. After you have waited or served the Lord or been patiently serving the Lord, you must keep serving the Lord or you will faint in the way. More sowing, not less sowing. When I feel faint. Well, let's turn to Psalm 107. Right here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, the children of men. Giving thanks also. See, they cried unto the Lord. Part of your waiting is crying unto the Lord. Right? Part of that waiting is praying. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way. If I am to wait, if I need a remedy for fainting, it's waiting. And part of my waiting is praying. It's not to pray less. Oh, I don't think God's answered my prayers. I don't think God's hearing me. So I'm going to quit praying and I'm just going to sit and sulk in my problems. Well, you're fainting. You're fainting. You're not only in your waiting supposed to be praying, you're supposed to be thanking. Waiting involves thanking. Waiting involves a thankful spirit. That's what it does. Waiting involves a thankful spirit. It involves thanking God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. God is the one, God is merciful to his people. And you are to wait, not to faint. God wants you to wait upon him. That means serving God. That means praying to God. That means thanking God. Are you noticing that everything is about God? Everything is about the Lord. Yes, for the Christian it is. Giving thanks to God will keep us from giving into despair. Giving thanks for past victories and all that God has done for us. Having a starving and thirsty soul that is not feasting on manna will cause you to faint in the way. If you are not recharged by the words of God, you will be in trouble. You will faint in the way. Spiritually malnourished Christians. It's important that when we see destruction all around us, that we do not become in despair. Men fail all around us, but we don't have to. We don't have to fail the Lord or to fall into sin. Even though it's discouraging, neither do we think of ourselves greater than we ought to, but we think soberly. But that does not mean it's a sin to trust in the Lord and put all our weight on him, and that he is able, and God is very able to keep us from falling by his righteousness and by his grace alone. This will keep you from fainting in the way. Jeremiah 45. Thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. God promises to keep us through everything. God promises to keep us. That's his promise, friend. God is able to preserve his people and his men in times of sin and evil. How about Jonah chapter 2? Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Remember, in times of fainting, there are to be times of praying. There are to be times of praying. You should not pray less in that sense, or less frequently. You may not be able to pray for long periods of time, but you can pray more frequently. You can pray more frequently, and you should be. Jonah said, when my soul fainted, I remembered the Lord. Remember the Lord in your fainting fit. Remember the goodness of the Lord. I remembered and I prayed. You know, those fainting fits, they help us to remember our devotion to the Lord. We remember that he is mighty and powerful, and that he will not fail us, nor leave us, nor forsake us in all that we go through. But we must wait upon the Lord. We must wait and not faint. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord, said Jonah. Jonah understood, didn't he? Jonah understood what he was tried with and tempted with, where he had failed God. Jonah had a responsibility before God not to faint in the way. Though he did. You and I have that same responsibility. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. You know, you and I can become like Jonah and faint so much so that we wish to be dead, thinking it to be far better than the trial of this life. But how vain we are in our fainting fits at times, that we think we know better than God does and that we could get out easier by death. Though death is a deliverance from all strife for the Christian and the war with sin is over, it is God that chooses the time and place for that, not us. We should wish the will of God, not our own fainting desires. Right? You and I sometimes think under our fainting fits or whatever fit you're going through at the time, when you're weakened and you're faintful, death would be better than what I'm going through. It is not for you to determine when you die. It is for God to determine, for it is appointed unto man once to die. It is God that holds our life in his hands. It is God that does that. You and I have no right to dictate to God when that will be. We have no right to do that. Have no right. God has called us to live. We live as long as God gives us breath. Jesus understood that his people could be faint, as he was concerned for them. But when he saw the multitudes in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. By the way, sheep sheep that are outside of the local New Testament church without a pastor, without a flock to be in. Sheep don't do well alone. I will tell you this, without a church, a biblical church, as a sheep of the Lord's pasture, you will be prone to fainting more. Because you have no other sheep and an earthly shepherd to strengthen you. God didn't make you to be a lone sheep out there by yourself, trying to fend for yourself. No, he organized that local New Testament church for a reason. He organized that for a reason. God's people are to be flocked up. God's people are to be flocked together. They don't do well on their own at all. Why? God never meant them to be on their own like that. God meant them to be together. And you ought to think about that and consider that and get into a local New Testament church somewhere. And by the way, if you have to move to do it, then do it. Amen. You pray God brings one there like God's bringing one where Carl lives after years of prayer. But he was in a church in the Philippines also. Because he learned from this ministry, from Old Paths Baptist Church, you ought to be in church. You ought to be a member of a local New Testament church and be strengthened in the Lord. God's people need it, especially in these desperate times we live in. That's why I want to plant, that's why Old Paths Baptist Church and me as a pastor, I want to plant churches all over the country and all over the world. Because I know people need churches. God's people need churches to be encouraged. Because the sheep are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And I'm concerned for that. And that's why I preach that to you. Well, Pastor, you'd have more offerings from people online if you didn't tell them those things. I probably would. I'm sure I probably would. But I wouldn't be helping them. I wouldn't be nurturing them. I wouldn't be showing them the truth. Would I? I'd be selfish then. I'm not going to be that way. By the way, God will take care of me in this ministry, and he has taken care of me just fine with preaching the truth and warning people and telling people and encouraging people. Christians with no shepherd or pastor can faint in the way. They can faint in the way and become sickly. I like this verse. I love it. Turn to Isaiah 40. Verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, well, Stephen, I don't know why you were disciplined out or what the reason was for it. I know there are reasons for people to be disciplined out of churches. The Bible shows us that for sin. And for heresies or sin or for violating the scriptures and not willing to repent. You know, there are reasons for it. I don't know why you were. Because I mean, I wasn't a part of that, so I couldn't tell you why. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? So remember this, God faints not, God is not weary. And we're gonna get into these scriptures again. I believe. Let me look down at my outline to make sure I'm going back there again. I think I am. Let's see. Boy, it's a long outline. You know what? I'm gonna explain some of this now, I think, because I don't think I have this, unless I'm missing it somewhere. Oh, nope, I do have it again, I think. Yep, I do have it again. Okay, good. Okay, so anyway, I'll just read this to you, but I'm going to talk about it at the end for might. I'm talking about fainting right now. But look what it says. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Andrea said about Sunday Sabbath and people refusing to go to church because of it. Well, I covered the Sunday Sabbath. I covered it very extensively a couple times. I could go back and teach it again sometime, but I have covered it two or three different times. Last year, I covered it a year or two ago, covered it a year or two before that. I've covered it maybe four or five times in my ministry, but I sure could. Stephen, you know what? A certain pastor from Florida got into my church business and tried to tell our church what we should do. I don't think I'll return the favor and get involved with that. I'm sorry that that happened to you, but it isn't really anything that it's none of my business in that sense. I do know this, that if you look for another church, God will give you one if you pray about it. If you can't reconcile with that church, if there's no way to reconcile with that church, you know, you could go somewhere else. I'm not trying to be insensitive to you, but I generally do not get involved with other churches' business, even though I've had them try to get involved with ours. I'll follow the scriptures and not do that. But I care about you if I can help you find somewhere else to go. You know, then I'll definitely do that. For sure. Okay, let's keep going here. Deuteronomy 20 verse 3 says, And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Now remember one thing. Faint-heartedness can be contagious. When God was giving instructions to Israel, I believe it was Deuteronomy chapter 20, And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is he? Is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house. Let his brethren's faint heart, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Okay, so what the scriptures are saying, but Stephen, let me tell you something, brother. I'm still going for the Lord. Old Paths Baptist Church is still going for the Lord. The gospel is still being preached. Souls are still being saved. Lives are still being changed. People are still joining the church. God's still on the throne. The Holy Ghost of God still gives power. And they didn't stop anything. God is still working. And God is able to make you stand. Amen and amen and amen. That's all I can say about that. And to all my enemies, all I can say is amen and amen. God is able to make you stand. And that's exactly what he did. Amen. I can rejoice in that. And I do, believe me. I do. And chuckle a little bit at my enemies when it comes to that. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 20, as we looked at there, our enemies attack when we're at our weakest and faint-hearted. In Deuteronomy 25:18, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. What's he talking about? He's talking about what happened when Amalek. Then came Amalek and attacked the Israelites when they were weak and faint-hearted from their journey. That's what the enemies of the Lord do. They attack God's people when they're faint-hearted and weak. You and I, when we are weak, see, devils smell blood, man. They smell it. Those beasts smell fear. Fear is blood to devils like that. That's what they do. But you know what God has commanded us to do when we are faint-hearted, when we are feeling weak? Judges 8:4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And that's it, friend. Faint yet pursuing. You and I, while we're going through faint, while we are faint-hearted, while we are going through things, we are to be continuing to pursue, continuing to press forward, continuing to fight the good fight of faith. We are not to give up. Faint. Yet pursuing. That's what God wants us to be. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. But what happened? They didn't want to give him any bread. They didn't want to help him. You know another thing, if you're fainting, what you're to do? Psalm 119. 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in smoke, in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Amen. If I'm faint, that's what I'm to be doing, friend. If I'm faint, that's what I'm doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, we talked about, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. So the reality of being faint is there. The reality of us becoming faint is there. Of us getting weak. Of us spiritually becoming weak. It's there. All right. Now what we're going to do is I'm going to play a song here. Give you a chance to think about some things that we've talked about. Then I'm going to give you the remedy, some more remedies for faintfulness. Give you more remedies that you faint not.
Calls for soldiers who are filled with power, soldiers who will serve him every day and hour. He will not forsake you, he is ever near. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Oh, volunteer for Jesus, oh, soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not? We will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? He calls you for he loves you with a heart most kind. For mankind. Now, just now, he calls you, calls in accent. sense clear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain.
Volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? That's right. We are called. Amen. We are enlisted in the Lord's army. All right. So that's what God wants us to do. And now we are going to get into how to get might for the fight. How do I get strength? How did God design it that I would be strengthened? We'll get to Isaiah, but let's go first to Ephesians chapter 6 as we look at this thing of might, because the weak need might. They need strength. The word might means strength, force, power, primarily and chiefly bodily strength or physical power as to work or strive with all one's might. But in this case, it means might is talking about spiritual might, spiritual power. That's what the Bible is discussing. That's what God is trying to teach us. How do I get strength when I feel so weak in the Lord? Well, he says here, first of all, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It's in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is not our might. It's God's might. But God gives us directions. Then he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Right? So he's telling us that because we do need that might for the fight. But it is God's might. So I can only pick up that armor by the power of the Spirit of God. And I put it on by the power of God. And that's the need of the hour. Be strengthened. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Same pattern. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice the example is the same. The pattern is the same. Same pattern that we talked about earlier. But now the focus is going to be on the actual might. strength is by the Spirit. This means, this is the means of which God does his work. If you want the power of God, you get it from the Spirit of God, the indwelling Spirit of God. God's way of strengthening his people is through the Spirit, because the Spirit is almighty. God is the Almighty. He is the one that we get our strength from. He does this by his Spirit. That's why we're told to have communion with the Holy Ghost. We cannot fight the Lord's battles without his might. We cannot fight Satan, the flesh, the world, without God's might. It can't happen. We will lose. We will lose. God designed it that way, that spiritual battles are to be fought through the Spirit, through prayer and supplication, through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, through power. Remember, God said, and ye shall receive power. That's through the Holy Ghost. Spurgeon was asked one time, how does one man do all this work? Because he literally did the work of like 10 men when it came to the ministry. He said, you forget there's two of us. When we are faint, we need might. When God appeared unto Abraham as an old man, when Abraham, it says, the Bible says this, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Abram is old. Abram, at that point, is an old man. He's 90 years old. 99 years old. He has no strength physically. That's why God appears unto him and says, I am the Almighty. I have all might and power. That's what God said to Abram. That's why he appeared to Abraham that way. You are old, Abram, but years do not change me. My power is not depleted, and I have no weakness. God has no weakness. So when we go to God with our weaknesses, he gives us strength. Somebody asked the question, and be thou perfect, does that mean being genuine in heart towards the Lord? No, it means being singly minded and focused. Walking perfect with the Lord. That I'm not a double-minded man, unstable in all my ways, but I'm singly minded. The perfect man, right? Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, putting those things which are behind, right? And he pressed towards those things that were before him. And he was thus minded, right? He was thus minded. That's what Paul said. He was perfect minded in that sense. He had no doubt, he wasn't a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways, but he was singly minded towards the Lord. Now, if you would have might for the fight, let me tell you this. one of the things that you must do is share everything with God. You must bring to God all your weakness, all your fear, everything. Everything that you're afraid of, you must bring it to God. If you do not empty your soul out before God, if you do not empty your soul out before the Lord, and you walk away from prayer, not emptying yourself before God, you're going to hold on to that fear. You won't make God blush. God knows how wicked you are. God knows how wicked your heart is. God knows how much of a fallen creature. God knows every fear anyway. But we're to bring our fear to the Lord. Man, I've brought some things to God that I would never say before men. Ever. I'd be ashamed to say them before men. Thoughts and things in my heart, temptations, fears, struggles, trials. I'd never tell men those things. But I bring them to God and I emptied them all out to the Lord. And I give them all to God. And you would, unless you do it, you would not understand the absolute blessing it is to take all those things to the Lord. To take everything to the Lord like that, that you're afraid of. Everything. And what a liberty that gives. That I can go upon my way and leave those things with the Lord and confess those sins and faults and fears and doubts and everything that I'm afraid of ever and take them to God and say, Lord, I'm afraid of all these things. Lord, I'm afraid this will happen to me, or I'm afraid I will do this, or I'm afraid I will do that, or I'm afraid of this, or Lord, I'm afraid of that. If you would not faint in the way, if you would have might for the fight, you must take those things to the Lord. You must bring all those things to God. Leave nothing back. Bring everything to God. And leave it there. Take all your weaknesses to Christ, and He will give you might and strength, because Christ is well equipped to help us. He was in all points tempted like as we are. He felt weakness. He felt sorrow. He felt pain, suffering of being a man and bearing with the things of this life. Yet He is God without sin. He knows what it is like to be forsaken. He also knows what it is like to be strengthened in the darkness of trial and temptation. Mark 1. Look at this. And straightway coming up out of the water, verse number 10, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. He goes from God making this pronouncement, his Father making this pronouncement, to being driven into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost driving him into the wilderness to face Satan and to be tempted. And the angels came to help him. That's not the only time Jesus suffered that. Luke 22. Verse verse number 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. God uses angels to strengthen us. We don't ask angels to strengthen us. God bids his angels. We don't. We ask God to give us might for the fight. However he decides to do it is up to the Lord. But Jesus went through this. Jesus went through weakness. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because it says it right there. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. He was weak. He needs strengthened. You know, until you enter into some deep sorrow in this life, and before you go through some things in this life, unless you do, you don't really respect the humanity of Christ. I'm firmly convinced that you and I, we know him and the power of his resurrection, but until we suffer some things, to know him in the power of his resurrection, we do not fellowship with him in his sufferings. We have to go through life and learn that Jesus suffered for me in the flesh, but he suffered for me in the flesh so he would strengthen me. So when I'm faint, I remember that even my Lord was faint. Even God manifest in the flesh, who made himself a man, was weakened and faint at times. That's not disrespecting God. It's acknowledging the sacrifice that Jesus gave for me. It's acknowledging the greatness of his sacrifice to love me so much, to come in the flesh and to suffer for me. He didn't just suffer on the cross. He suffered these things for me. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It wasn't a sin that Christ was weak. It wasn't a sin that the angels came to strengthen him. He was weakened for me. He was weakened for my sin. That's what you have to understand. And the problem is that most people, unless they enter into that sorrow, they never rightly understand the humanity of Christ. Never. So God touches many of his preachers, his pastors with those things, so they become tender to those things. So they understand Christ and his humanity and what he went through for us. And then they become strengthened because they say, you know what? Jesus suffered this, and if I want might for the fight, I've got to go to my Father. When I am weak, I'm to wait, not to faint. The Son of God knew the anguish and the weakness of the flesh. But the Lord, being rich in mercy, sent his angel to minister or serve him. You and I know that even Jesus went to the Father in prayer with his weakness as our perfect example to gain strength. The older we get, the stronger the inner man can be. Make no mistake about it that the Lord is well able to strengthen his holy saints and his older saints with health and strength and vigor for the fight ahead. You see in this verse right here, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Don't you know that God's not weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. You ever been that place? You ever been that place, friend? As a Christian, where you feel absolutely helpless, absolutely hopeless in that sense, you're not hopeless. Spiritually drained, no strength within you. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. God brings us to our end sometimes, so we go to him and we have real power. I've literally, some of the strongest times in my life have been when I said, Lord, when I was, and I said, Lord, I am so weak. I do not know if I can do this. I do not believe I can do this, Lord. I need your strength. I need your help. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to show me. I need you to guide me. I need you to direct me. I need you to strengthen my soul tonight. Do you believe it? Do you believe he giveth power to the faint? Do you believe God? Do you take him at his word? Do you believe it? Do you go to God for that? And to them that have no might, he increases strength. When you don't go to God for might and strength, you're telling God you have your own strength and your own might, and he doesn't give you any of his strength. He lets you continue on in the flesh because you're not humble. You're not broken. Right? God does not faint. He is not weak. There never was a time that the Father was weak. There never was a time that God had a problem. There never was a time that God did not know something. There never was a time that God was outwitted or outsmarted. There never was a time that God was overpowered or overcome by anything. God has never been exasperated. That is why religious fools who believe that God disowns his children because he can't get them to mind have a brain dumber than a jackass and are wholly ignorant of the nature of God. God is never at his wit's end. Yes, God has a time of judgment and he allows man to be given over to his own delusions, but that is an active judicial decision, not because he could not correct his own children. God knows how to strengthen his own children and to chasten his own children. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. That's God's way with his children. But they must humble themselves and bring all their weakness and fears to him. If we hold back our hearts from God, we walk in pride. If we hold on to our fears, then God will resist the proud. But if we in humility go to him with all our fears and weaknesses and tell him that we are most afraid, what we are most afraid of, God is attracted to weakness because he has none at all. He gives strength to those that are weak. Wherever he sees his children walking in faith, though fearful, afraid, and weak, and they come to him, he giveth power to the faint. But they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. When we do not go to the Lord, when we do not follow him and seek his face for all things, and he lets us go on in our own weakness. Those who own their weakness and faint-heartedness, before him he gives power to the faint. The Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What that's saying is that God's not weak. It's the simplest form of his strength is stronger than men. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Look at that. I'll show it to you. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is perfect in weakness. God's strength is perfect. That's what he was saying there. In weakness. What, God's strength is perfectly performed and given to his saints in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. You see what I mean? Some of you wonder, why does Pastor Cooley smile when people get mad at him, when they're angry at him, when they reproach him, when they persecute him, when they do those things? I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's why. God's made me that way. It ain't anything in me. Ain't anything special in me. Ain't anything in my flesh. No, there's no good thing in my flesh. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God says, if you're going to have my power, you're going to have to be weak. If you're truly going to be used of me, you cannot think of yourself strong. You cannot see anything done by the power of your own might. But it's got to be in your weakness that I fill you with my spirit, that I sustain you, that I give you my power, that I give you my strength, that I give you my encouragement so you know that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. And you got a thorn in there, and you're going to have that thorn there until you go home. But it'll make you weak. And then my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yep. That's it right there. See, human nature is opposite of that. Well, I don't want to. How could that help me? Oh, it helps you a lot. I remember some of the infirmities I suffered, anxiety, PTSD, depression, different things like that. I remember saying at times, I just really don't see how this is going to help anyone. I don't see how I can be used of God all the while God's using me. I don't really see how this can benefit. This trial, how this can benefit. This affliction, my brain's literally melting. I don't see how in the world that can be good. How can I be a useful minister of Jesus Christ? How can I be used of God in this weakness? And all the while the Lord's pointing me to this text and saying, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. No. God told me, I am not taking that away from you. Stop asking me to do that. So I don't ask him anymore to do it. I ask him for grace. Right? I ask him for grace to endure and to get through it. I ask him for strength and help. But I don't ask God to take that away. God's able to. You say, well, yeah, well, anxiety and PTSD and things, you can see the circuitry. You can see it in your brain. Yeah, it's scientific. I mean, it's there. That'll never change unless God touched my mind and said, okay, it's healed. And he repaired all the circuits. Is God able to do that? Sure he is. Absolutely. 1,000%. Is he going to do it for me? Nope. Nope. He's not gonna. Is he gonna do it for me? Mm-mm. Is it because God's not good? No. God's great. You know why he won't do it? Because it isn't good for me. It isn't good for me. It's what the lack of that thorn being there and me trusting in myself at times got me in trouble. So God says, no, I'm not going to let that happen again. You're not going to have that happen again. I'm going to make sure of it, that no one ever does that to you again. That you don't do that to yourself again. Amen. No way. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength in our lives is made perfect in our weaknesses when we have no power or strength. And we, by faith in the nature of our weakness, when God has allowed trials to bring us to our end and we have no strength, then does he pour his strength upon us. When we are fully abased of our pride and arrogance and self-dependence in the trial that we are in. Right? It's when God works. It's when God does what he does. And does it well, friend. But not until then. Not until our hearts are completely depleted of self-dependence because we are so proud of ourselves. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. God promises right there that age matters not, that spirituality, you can grow stronger and stronger in the Lord. Your inner man will grow stronger and stronger. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 37, verse 9. Let's turn there. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 123, verse 2. If we would have might, we must wait upon the Lord. Again, we must. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the land of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 27, or Isaiah 8:17, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Oh, we got to look at this one again. Let's look at this one. Let's remember this, friend. You need to memorize some of these verses. Look what verse 13 said. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Again, Psalm 37. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself as a green, like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, and he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright man. The perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help him and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. One man said it this way: as children on their parents, to do them honor, to obey their commands, and receive food and blessing from them, as servants on their masters, to know their pleasure, do their work, and have their wages, as clients on their patrons, to have advice of them, put their cause into their hands, and know how it goes, and as beggars at the door, who knock and wait, tell their case and wait, and meet with repulses, yet keep their place and continue waiting. Such an act supposes a knowledge and reverence of God, confidence in him, attendance on him, not with the body only in public and private, but with the soul also, and with some degree of constancy, and with patience and quietness the Lord is to be waited upon for the manifestations of himself, who sometimes hides himself, but is to be waited for, since he has set a set time to show himself again. And his presence is worth waiting for, also for the performance of his promises, which may be expected from his perfections, the nature of the promises, and their being in Christ. Likewise, for answers of prayer, and for fresh discoveries of pardoning grace and mercy. And as the Old Testament saints waited for the first coming of Christ, so the New Testament saints wait for his second coming and for eternal glory and happiness, and such shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as eagles and fly, like we sing the song. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Strength, which is to be understood of spiritual strength in the heart and of the graces of the Spirit of God there, it is supposes that strength received already, which natural men have not, but converted men have, and yet they want more, and more they shall have to assist them in the performance of duty, to enable them to resist Satan and his temptations and the corruptions of their nature, and to cause them to endure afflictions and persecutions patiently and to persevere unto the end. To wait on or upon the Lord is to attend on him as a servant, to perform menial services for him, as to wait on the table, to attend, to go to see the Lord, to visit for business, my Father's business. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none of them that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. We are to wait upon the Lord. We're to wait on the Lord. That's what God says. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Don't faint. God has given us the remedy. God has given us the strength. God gives us the access to that power and strength. He gives us all things that we need.
Wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside. Looking only unto Jesus, He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on
Wings as eagles, right? That's That's what we need. We need that strength from God. And praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. I hope you all were blessed today by this. I hope it was a strengthening thing for you. Share it with folks out there that it may be a blessing to them and help them along the way, along their struggles and trials that they are going through, that they would be strengthened in all might in the inner man, that God would use that in their lives and their hearts. I hope that's the case for many out there, because I know there's folks that are struggling with different things, and I know that. I know people are challenged and tried, and I know this. I've been there, and God has strengthened me through it. God has taught me things that I need to know, and God has strengthened me by faith, and He has always been good to me and my family, and to take care of us, though whatever the struggles or trials may be, God has been a blessing to us, and He has fed me and taken care of me, and He continues to, and that's a blessing for sure. So, I don't let the rapture issue divide me, Brother David. I really don't. I don't make that a central theming issue of anything. And the reason why is men have always differed on prophecy. And they always will. I'll do some. My name is Michael. I have a friend that thinks praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. What is praying in the Spirit? It means praying in the power of the Spirit of God, according to the Spirit of God. And we know that by the Scriptures. That's what that means. To pray in the Spirit. That's what it means. It doesn't mean in different tongues and languages in that sense. It's talking about praying according to the Spirit of God, according to what the Scriptures say. So that's praying in the Spirit. That's what that means. And the Bible's pretty clear on that, actually. Hope that helps answer that. Let's see. Pray for us. I don't believe in praying in tongues. I don't believe there is such a thing. I believe that tongues in the Bible were 17 different languages that were spoken at Pentecost. And then after that, they were always assigned to a Jew. In Acts, and not everyone spoke in tongues either. So the modern day tongues movement is not the same thing that we see in the Scriptures. It's totally opposite of that. So, or different than that, excuse me, not opposite. So anyway, that's what we believe about that. Okay, so you pray for us, pray for our ministry, pray the Lord would continue to bless our ministry. Somebody asked, sorry I missed today, but you do believe in the rapture. I'm post-trib, so I believe that I do not believe in the pre-trib rapture. I believe in a post-trib rapture. I believe in the coming of the Lord. But I don't use it as a dividing thing between people. I think one thing's for sure, we all have to walk with God until He takes us home. So whenever that is, it will be, and nothing will stop it. And if I'm wrong, I'll get corrected real quick while I'm on my way up. So that's the way I leave that issue. I don't argue about it. I just don't. I don't think it's worth every doctor is worth arguing for. I do not believe in making enemies over it, right? And I'm fine with people disagreeing about that. So anyway, I think people, I don't understand. I don't know what you don't understand. Anyway, if you would pray for us, pray for our ministry. Secondly, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you certainly can do that. Some people PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. Those are also my email addresses if you'd like to get a hold of me for some reason. Also, if you'd like to, some people do have done cryptocurrency. Some people have given through Coinbase and different things like that. Some people have done Apple Pay. Some people have done all sorts of different methods of giving that are out there. Some Cash App and all kinds of different things. But anyway, whatever the way the Lord, or they just do it the old fashioned way and they mail us something. Here's our address right here. If you don't do anything, that's okay too. God's good. He's faithful. He takes care of us. All right. So anyway, but, that's just something for you to think about and pray about. All right. Lord willing, there are a few, very few good. Anyway, so you believe that Jesus will come back before the rapture? No, I don't believe Jesus will come back before the rapture. I believe in one coming. That's what I believe in. But where did Cain's wife come from? Well, obviously, it would be his sister at the time. And the bloodlines were pure because man was just created and sin did not taint the bloodlines. So obviously, his sister would have came from Adam and Eve. That's where his wife would have came from. So anyway, that's... no, I really, I'm torn between the coming of the Lord, as far as that goes, and, a post-trib rapture time period, after the sixth seal. I've gotten it down to the sixth seal right there, that it's definitely after the sixth seal. After that, I'm not really sure. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really spend a ton of time on it. I haven't for years. I haven't tried to study the issue for probably, I don't know, 7 years, maybe 8 years. I don't really feel so inclined to do it either, to be honest with you. There's so many things that God's people need to live, learn how to live now, today. God's people need to learn how to walk with God today, right now. So, I did preach a series. I did preach a series on the post-trib position. I did preach a series on that. It's there. You can listen to it if you want to on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, but it isn't something that I focus a lot of time. I've always been told of the rapture. Yeah, well, every pastor I know told me that too. The only problem is I never saw a pre-trib rapture in the Bible. I just don't know where they get it from. I'll be honest with you. I've never had anybody show me one text that points to that. It just doesn't. I don't see it. But anyway, it's not something I argue about. I can't see it. I can't see it. I saw it before when people told me to see it, but I didn't see it. I've never saw it. I've seen what they say it is, and I used to be pre-trib, and I studied it out and did those things, so I'm not now. But again, I don't fight over it. I don't preach about it every day. I don't talk about it. I have friends that do that, and our friends that are pre-trib, friends that are post-trib. But I love them all, and we'll all find out someday. God bless you if you got it all figured out, and good for you. I'm glad. I don't. There's some things about that I don't see. And God will reveal it in his time. We have to look for these things and look for what the scriptures say and just continue to serve the Lord and be faithful to God. Well, I look forward to Jesus coming too. I still look forward to Jesus coming back. There's no reason not to. That doesn't mean there's not things that are going to happen, you know. in that sense. But anyway, God bless you all. Take care. I'm going to get out of here. I got to go for a walk and do some praying. That's what I got to do. All right. So I'm going to do that. And God bless you all. You take care. And we'll see you back here, Lord willing, Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Time. We are on Rumble. We are live on Rumble right now. We are live on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. We're live there on the Old Paz Baptist Church page on sermonaudio.com. We are live there. We are live on Facebook. So we're live on all those and YouTube, obviously. We're live on those platforms. So anyway, you can catch us there. God bless you all.